This is the Aftermarket Radio Network. Carm Capriano, your host and the pioneer of automotive aftermarket podcasts. Hey, you're listening to Remarkable Results Radio, and if you're interested in the latest updates on trending topics or even wisdom from your industry brethren, then hey, this is the place to be. Consider this podcast your personal no-nonsense newsroom. Hey, let's jump in. Apex 2021 went off without a hitch despite the constant changes in regulations and mandates as it related to COVID. Hey, I was there with the studio and now get a behind-the-scenes glimpse on what it took to successfully launch Apex. Plus, a very important update on the Right to Repair Act and the future of our industry. This is serious stuff here. While you're listening to this episode, take out your phone, go to repairact.com, and be an active voice. It's time right now to tell Congress you support the Right to Repair Act. If you earn your living in the independent aftermarket, you need to get behind this. Hey, thanks to our partners Apex and Shopware for providing you this episode. Hey, Apex 2021's in the record books. And it was Apex really lived up to presenting leading-edge technology from suppliers, but also a great job of showcasing the emerging technology of tomorrow. You've got plenty of time to plan for 2022, November 1st through the 3rd, 2022 to be exact. Apex, now more than ever. Hey, do you remember the 1990s? I'll bet you your shop management system does. Printing paper, shuffling clipboards, leaving voicemails. Hey, grab a paper clip while you're at it and pull some trouble codes. The check engine light is flashing and your profits are running lean. On the web, visit my friends at GetShopware.com. The influence and support of our industry's growth and metamorphosis continues right now. Hey, I'm back. Apex 2021 inside of Joe's Garage. And as I've told you in previous episodes, I'm in this really cool fish bubble tank here. It is incredible. I get a chance to overlook the entire Joe's Garage where there's eight bays and there's stuff going on and they're up in the air and they're running and there's exhaust fans here. It is the most incredible thing that I think anyone ever thought that Apex could ever pull off. And all of this is because of my guests that are here. Bill Hanvey, CEO, Auto Care Association. Hello, Bill.
Carm, always a pleasure to be with you.
Thank you, sir. And by the way, it seems like I try to pull you guys in either every 2 years or whatever, but it's been 2 years, right? It's been 2 years. Paul McCarthy, President, CEO, AASA, the Automotive Aftermarket Suppliers Association. Hi, man.
Hi, great to be with you. Just loving the being at the show.
Yeah, and he was on earlier. You'll hear another episode with Paul on supply chain, and thank you for coming in and doing that. Wow, we're back in the saddle, guys.
We are back in the saddle.
And so I would love to know how many meetings and when did they start wondering, shall we, restrictions, mandate, masks, vaccine? I mean, you had to have a cut down date that says Apex is a go or no go. I mean, how much stress was that?
How much time do you have?
I mean, I think that's the reality. Right. Part of the reality is that you pulled it off, but you had to sweat some details.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's been everybody's reality of late, just dealing with all this uncertainty and getting through it. But what I think is amazing about the show is we're back. I mean, it does feel like the business is back, the people are back, the interactions are back, and it's exciting. I mean, there was a lot of talk and worry at the start of this, but we're clearly coming out of the pandemic with an automotive industry, an aftermarket that's even stronger than it was coming in. And you feel that energy here. I mean,
Absolutely. And to build on what Paul had said, it was quite a stressful lead up to the show. And Paul and I both worked extremely hard to give the exhibitors and the buyers the confidence that they needed to be able to come, to put the safety measures in place, to add that additional level of security for them. So and the teams worked together so well in terms of putting these guidelines together and building a show that, you know, for many intents and purposes was fluid up to 2 or 3 weeks before the show opened. So a great a round of applause for our respective events teams that really pulled this off.
Very well said, Bill.
Yeah. It was 2 years ago, you guys were on stage, and I think that was our President Bush.
It was.
And it did the keynote. Thanks for doing that. Thanks for doing the keynote with all these great industry leaders this year. But you announced the Repair Shop HQ then. And of course, it was supposed to happen last year, and it didn't. But you guys put all your muscle behind this particular singular spot that's all for the service professional. I got to give you all kinds of credit. Again, I know you had a lot of people leading this, but did you think it would turn out like it did?
To be here and see it in person, Carm, does it no justice in terms of, you know, the your listeners are not going to be able to see it, but it's just Paul and I see it on the blueprints and we see it on the show floor plan. But until you get here and realize the magnitude of Repair Shop HQ and Joe's Garage and the activity, it does not do it justice. It's really well done.
Joe Register's over there doing on a BMW.
Yeah.
The whole right to repair secure vehicle
That's
interface.
Right.
Who else?
Mm-hmm.
No, we would see that anywhere else but
right.
here.
Exactly.
So you really, really guys were on the cutting edge. So thank you for doing this. I know you invested a lot in getting these lifts secure, getting the exhaust fans in here.
Oh, yeah. It's amazing. We've had people say, how in the world did you get these guys in Vegas to do this? They had to tear up the floor. They had to do all this stuff. We could get our stuff in here, all these lifts. But it is very cool. I mean, this is, I've heard, it's my view, but it's others, I've heard it. I mean, this is a playground now. I mean,
right.
This is what we love in the industry. This is why we're here, is to see the vehicles and see the repairs done. And we've heard it, the discussions. I mean, techs and shop owners have always liked coming here and seeing the new products, the new technologies. But now they can see it. They can interact with it. And, a manufacturer can say, let me show you. And show it. And it's really exciting. And we need more of it with all these high-tech vehicles coming.
Yeah.
We need to be able to have those forums and
he nailed
conversations.
It. Playground.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like
right?
that.
It's true. And that's, that this is the focus of the show. Building upon this is to get the technician more engaged, to build that, the base with the technician.
Yeah.
And great first start, and it's just going to continually be a build-out on that.
Yeah, very well said, Bill. I mean, that's the future of the show.
Yeah.
But it also, we need it as an industry because we need to be able to go to our customers and say, whatever technology is on this vehicle, we can repair it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hey, electrification, ADAS, or just some of the other new cool features. Hey, yeah, I was at Apex. I got my training. I learned how to do this. I can handle that and have that confidence so we can grow our business.
We need to repair it. Mm-hmm. Now that's a big sentence.
Right.
We can repair it.
And we can repair mm-hmm. it, which brings me to right to repair. Let's give us an update.
Thanks to the voters in Massachusetts and a lot of hard work and money, we were able to pass the ballot measure in Massachusetts by a 75% margin last election year. And basically what right to repair does, it allows for the bi-directional access of data from the vehicle itself in a standardized format. Get the diagnostic information that you need wirelessly. So as soon as we won that, the automakers quickly turned around and had a lawsuit against the Commonwealth of Massachusetts stipulating that the...
We're not happy. The voters don't know what they're talking about.
Right. Exactly.
Well said.
Yeah. Exactly. And we can't do it in the specified time frame. So we went to court in June. The Commonwealth of Massachusetts had to defend the lawsuit. So we were material witnesses in many aspects, providing technological information and expert witnesses. The judge was supposed to have a ruling on that court case on November 2nd. There was some additional evidence that was found prior to that, about a week prior to the show. Where Subaru was disabling their Starlink system. And the judge is now taking that into evidence as a matter of...
No matter what his ruling was, he still said, I'm not going to tell you how it was going to rule, but
right.
This is interesting.
Yes, exactly. And we think that it's a really good development for us. So I'll let Paul talk more about our efforts on the federal side.
Mm-hmm.
But in Massachusetts... we're still waiting and still fighting that lawsuit.
In the keynote, you put up a great QR code so that you could scan that, go mm-hmm. right to a website, send a letter to your legislator.
RepairAct.com.
Okay, RepairAct.com.
So any shop can go in there. Yeah. You just put in your name, where you're located, automatically allow you to send a quick email to your representative to say that this matters for you.
It is the most important thing I think you can do today.
Absolutely.
Definitely. And that brings into the federal aspect, because this is such a fundamental issue for the future of our industry. We've got to fight it on all fronts. We ultimately do need a national solution. And so we have joined together, AutoCare, us at AASA, our friends at SEMA, the Car Collision Industry Coalition, and we are soon to introduce a federal bill, which will also push the automotive right to repair. And we think we're going to get bipartisan support. Mm-hmm. We think it makes a lot of sense. And that would be a great solution. And you can just, you know, tell your representative. You should support it, RepairAct.com.
Can you imagine if all 4 million people that worked in this aftermarket sent those letters?
Right. Well, that's the point. And that's what we need to do, Carm. It's, Paul and I put together at the breakfast. So we demonstrated how the automakers have 270 lobbyists. Collectively, between AutoCare and MEMA, we have 9. They spend $30 million on lobbying activity. We have less than $500,000 in our PACs. So that's the only way that we're going to be able to defeat this, is to have
grassroots.
That's
grassroots.
Right. Yep, that's right.
But we have 4 million professionals.
Yeah.
The other side is we have all the constituents. I mean, once people on Capitol Hill are educated about this, it makes sense, because it's their constituents. We're seeing all the problems right now with just a little bit of part shortage and how much flux that has created, and the impact on consumers of maybe I have to wait to get my car repaired. Well, now imagine a future, and it's coming if we don't do something, where the 75% of the capacity that sits in the independent aftermarket can't repair the vehicle. What that's going to look like for consumers. So all we're asking folks to do is essentially support your constituents.
I know our legislators will never hear from the lobbyists on that side of the aisle that dealerships don't know how to hold relationships, don't know how to cater to people. I mean, you know, the best shop operators on the independent side, I mean, they're savvy business people.
Oh, they have to be.
And they're smart, and they run great places, good culture, positive training, and they hold, they don't call them customers anymore. They call their customers clients.
Right.
And those relationships are so strong. The community support, mm-hmm. The dealerships do give it. There's no doubt. But I think the independent gives a more intimate relationship in the community than the big corporate. Here's $500 to put up my logo. We're dealing with these big mega dealerships. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And by the way, when the Federal Trade Commission looked at this, they're nixing the fix report, which supported our position completely, bipartisan, unanimously voted to support that bill. It pointed out that one of the issues here is if this happens, we're going to lose a lot of small businesses, small business people. We know how diverse the shop population is. And they said, wait, this doesn't make any sense. And I'll throw out in the federal bill, just to make clear, we're not saying pick the aftermarket over the OEs or this or that.
Right.
It's not us versus them.
Right.
It is very simple. It's let's just have the principles of competition,
sure,
free market, consumer choice. And then we got to go out in the marketplace and win every one of those clients, mm-hmm. every one of those customers, just like we do now. But we should have that opportunity.
Right.
Everybody in the market should have that opportunity. Those are our principles in this country.
Yeah.
Competition. It's better for us. It's better for the consumer. And it's our value.
It's going to make a better industry, smarter techs, better training. Because to be able to fix these supercomputer cars today, mm-hmm. we're going to need a lot of knowledge certifications. ASE's working on an ADAS certification. I mean, I see an evolution in the quality of the people that we put in our bays that are going to be able to take that vehicle in that two-way communications and talk to it.
Mm-hmm.
And we just don't want to cut that cord.
Right.
It's as simple.
Yeah.
Refrigerators today, they'll tell you if you need milk. I don't know. There's screens on them, so.
Yes.
But I don't think Frigidaire said that the local repairman can't fix your fridge.
Right.
Haven't they?
Well, don't be surprised about that.
That John Deere thing, maybe.
Yes.
I know.
Yeah.
Some of it's so comical, guys. You just scratch your head and you say, this just can't be going on.
I know.
Well, it also doesn't make any sense. I mean, we know if you want to have satisfied customers, you need this ecosystem that we have here. We need to be able to say, hey, I need my vehicle repaired. There's a guy on the corner. He can make it happen. And even for the automakers, looking at their brand values and the resale values,
right?
We shouldn't be fighting about this.
Yeah.
And again, all we're asking for is the competition we've had before.
Yeah. And to allow the consumer to make that choice.
Yes.
That's it.
Well,
keep us on an equal footing, and we'll take it from there.
RepairAct.com. Yeah.
And the fun that it's incredibly easy. It literally takes 20 seconds, and you've made your voice be heard.
Right.
Your congressperson will hear
where
you stand on it. And by the way, tell your neighbors, tell your friends.
Hey, Carm here. Coming up, the electric vehicle is full of opportunities if you let it, and you must. Carm here. Well, I can't say enough about the quality of instructors and the high level of technical and management training that was offered inside Repair Shop HQ during Apex 2021. Hey, it's in the record books, but the great news is that show organizers for Apex 2022 are hard at work again, assembling the best and the brightest instructors and the most timely and needed training for shop owners and technicians. And now watch for a robust schedule of training and product demos on topics such as engine performance diagnostic strategies, how to be an effective leader, wheel alignment and ADAS calibrations, controller area networks, and using social media to grow your business, just to name a few. With this caliber of training, make sure Apex 2022 is on your calendar. Now that's November 1st through the 3rd in Las Vegas. And together, let's make 2022 the year of growing sales, profits, and productivity for your business. Listen here for more Apex 2022 training and registration information. Are you stuck in small ticket rut? Well, that's exactly what happened to Dominic Linden and the team at Autobahn Service in Sheffield, Massachusetts. With the busy day-to-day bustle of shop operations, they didn't have time to chase customers for approval. They were caught in a cycle of low AROs, and they were losing those higher ticket jobs to competitors. Autobahn Service was introduced to Shopware, and just a few months after going live, the shop was so busy with new jobs that they actually needed to lower their car count. They are now able to be selective with the services they take on, and profits have never been better. Additionally, by tapping into Shopware's digital estimating capabilities, Autobahn Service has noticed an 89% average approval rate from customers. Their average RO before Shopware was $450, and now it's up to $700. Now, that's a 55% increase. Do the math. Reach your customers faster and get approved dollars up. Get Shopware.com.
So you guys pay attention to the industry. You're doing surveys. I mean, isn't it amazing the growth that we've seen?
Incredible.
Coming out of, what, 3 or 4 months after COVID and to this day, shop owners are 3 weeks booked.
Right.
I mean, you talk about... We have a supply chain issue, but we also have a spike in demand issue.
We do. And people are driving their cars differently. You know, the commute back and forth in many cases is gone. However, people are using their personal vehicle now as personal space.
And, I got to get out.
Right. I have to get out. I'm going to go on a road trip. I may not take a flight, but I'll drive, you know, 2,500 miles and do a nice family road trip. Public transportation still is negatively impacted from the effects of the pandemic, so people are not taking as much public transportation as they have in the past. So the driving habits are changing, and you know the miles driven are still increasing, and you know our industry's performance through the pandemic has just been I think it took everybody by surprise in terms of the viability of the industry.
And what Bill's saying here is we've had this amazing performance now, but it's going to continue.
Right.
Because these are structural shifts. You know, at the beginning, everybody was panicked. People aren't commuting. Miles driven are going to be down. There's going to be less demand. But pre-COVID, miles driven were about 30% of the miles driven. And if you're going to offer us a trade for a decline in what made up 30% of miles driven for something that increased the structural drivers,
right,
the centrality of the automobile, behind the other 70% of miles driven, which we've absolutely seen, it's not a bad trade.
Right.
And that's what we're seeing. We're coming out of the pandemic with more automobility, more dependence and importance of the car to our lives, our lifestyles, and where we now want to live than what we had going into the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And that is really good for the aftermarket.
Automobility. Mm-hmm. Is that yours?
It is now.
Wow,
I'm not sure I could actually say that word again. Right? That's hard to pronounce.
You got to copyright that part.
Definitely. Yep.
Automobility. Right? Mm-hmm. Amazing stuff, guys. Tell me about EVs, e-tailing. I think you guys were talking on the stage about some survey stuff you've done.
Yeah, we have another joint project between AASA and the Auto Care Association. We've all heard the news, the hype about the electronic vehicle and how it's taking over, and consumers are not going to be able to have a choice in the very near future. Well, the report that we published that's available on both of our respective websites to our membership, you know, it points out that the automotive aftermarket on the EV side is very healthy through, and shows growth even through 2040. Even though the mix of electronic vehicles is going to obviously increase, and then on the e-commerce side, it's again a change in buying habit that's just going to continue to grow as people get used to the e-tailing environment, delivery at home or delivery to the shop, and you know the e-tailers and the retailers are just going to have to. Go with this, with these new business models, and continually readapt to be able to meet those needs.
Yeah.
Paul?
That's a great summary. On the e-commerce side, I mean, we know most of the market is professional, but one of the big things coming out of it that we've seen on the manufacturer, the distributor side, is that everybody's expectations have gone up. We've had to do a better job using data and business technology just to make it easier. Make sure that, and this is professional side or consumer side, you just have better information, easier to get that information, what you need to repair, whether this is the right part. And I think it's really activated us to get better in all parts of our business and hopefully support the shops better with what you expect us to be able to, information to give you.
Right. I'm getting ready to do an interview in a few weeks about the myth of the demise of the internal combustion engine.
Right.
And there's a lot of people on the one side that say, yeah, okay, mm-hmm. This isn't going away for a long, long time. In fact, if I live long enough, I can't wait to go to car shows and say, oh my God, there's a gas engine. Can you imagine that? There's gabillions of classic cars. I do see, and maybe I understand why EVs, maybe I understand it, but I think there's too much push that, you know, oh my God, you know, EV is going to, the slow rumble and it's going to take over everything. I think we shouldn't get overexcited that all of a sudden I've only got 10 years to own my shop.
Yeah.
And if I don't get involved in EVs and what are we really going to be able to repair on the Tesla? I had somebody on the show the other day that says, my third shop is going to be a Tesla-only shop. Can you imagine that?
Wow.
Because Tesla told some people, we can't fix the cars.
Right. Right.
I think they finally woke up to say, we need the aftermarket, the independent aftermarket.
They have.
And their whole business model is they don't have the franchise dealers. Everything is done through Tesla. And they've also been pretty prohibitive about the data share, too.
Yeah.
And there's some very entrepreneurial people in our industry working on
there are.
Yeah. Yes, never underestimate the American entrepreneur.
Exactly.
And that's our industry.
It's capitalism at its best.
Totally. Yeah.
I know.
Mm-hmm. And I'll throw out on the EVs you mentioned.
Yeah.
That was why we did this study together, because there's been some crazy headlines out there. We wanted to give the industry a realistic view. And when you look at EVs, there's no doubt it's going to grow. But there's a couple things to keep in mind. First, we have over 280 million vehicles in operation. The average age is over 12 years old. This takes a long time to shift. And what we found is that the existing aftermarket, all the products that we know, that we sell, they have a long, fat tail. Yeah. We're going to be repairing these things for a long time. And so even you go out to 2035, the vast majority of the market is still all these products we know and like. Now, again, there's growth from EV.
Yeah.
Hey, if somebody wants to open that Tesla shop or an EV shop, and they're in the right part of the country where that matters, there may be some opportunity there. But there's also opportunity in the existing stuff. And equally exciting is what Bill said, which is even when you get even more EVs, we're still looking at growth for our industry. Sure. There's all this fear of, well, there's nothing to repair on these vehicles. It's not really what we're finding mm-hmm. in the real world and in the marketplace. There was a recent study that the first 3 years of ownership, repair costs for these EVs are higher than what we're seeing for right. ICE engines. So the reports of our demise as an industry and as shops are greatly exaggerated.
Exactly.
So when this doesn't take off, selling the EV vehicles doesn't take off. I mean, yeah, we look at some of the price tags and some of these new models and new manufacturers coming out. You know, $65,000-$70,000 for the entry car.
Mm-hmm.
Will you think the government would ever step in? And I know that I know there's incentives out there, but
sure.
you remember Cash for Clunkers?
Oh, sure do.
Guys?
Yeah, and you know who the biggest beneficiary of Cash for Clunkers was? Kia and Hyundai.
Really?
Yeah. More consumers bought those two brands during Cash for Clunker than any other model.
Wow. Yeah.
And that was a program designed to help, quote unquote. Now, of course, it's global manufacturing, right? But that program was designed to stimulate U.S. manufacturing jobs.
Yeah. And, I mean, we're already seeing it with the incentives on the new vehicle side to encourage EVs.
Yeah.
It's not being fair, and that's not good. I don't think we're going to see another Cash for Clunkers. And one of the reasons is the two associations
yes.
sitting here. We saw that. We've learned from that. We know the story. We
right.
It comes up every once in a while. We shut it down pretty fast mm-hmm. in D.C. because it doesn't make any sense. It's bad for consumers.
Right.
Essentially, people with less money all of a sudden lost a lot of used cars.
Mm-hmm.
So the economic equity story doesn't work.
Right.
The other side of it is really bad for the environment. We're taking these useful things out of... that have already, you know,
right.
all the CO2 to build that thing was done. And now we're taking it out of the system. It just doesn't make any sense.
Right.
So we do a pretty good job, I think, of when that pops up, of telling them the truth and trying to shut that down. Because it doesn't make any sense for American consumers.
Right.
They're already printing money now.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
This is the same thing with consumer choice. The consumers, we'll see if the dog's going to eat the dog food. And neither Paul nor I are saying that the EV... is not going to gain traction within our industry.
Do you own an EV or hybrid?
I don't.
Paul?
I have a hybrid.
Okay. Okay. A 20-year-old car. I mean, mm-hmm. I wouldn't be afraid to buy a Prius, maybe.
No.
I was going to say, it's not a new hybrid.
Right.
That's right.
And I have a shop in my area. I got a specialist, and it's in great shape. Mm-hmm.
And I think what Tesla did with the contract with Hertz... to put 100,000 electric vehicles in the rental car fleet is a fascinating way to get the consumer to dip their toe into the water for an EV. Oh, you rent it. Oh, you know what? It wasn't so bad for a couple of days. And when it's not so bad, then people take that into consideration when they're buying their next vehicle.
Do you know how many shop owners, and I know a lot of them, that have repaired ICE vehicles their whole entire career, now own a Tesla?
Right.
Because they want to know.
Mm-hmm.
They want to figure it out. They want it to break so they can figure out how to repair it.
Right.
I know.
And Judy, excuse me, from Harrisonburg.
Yeah. Judy is Zimmerman Walter.
Right.
Yeah.
She has an electric vehicle.
And she's putting an EV charging station at her place.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. And that, I have a very curious question to the whole industry. Are you thinking of doing it?
Right.
Isn't there government funds to help with that? Frankly, I think there is. And it may be local. I may be right or wrong on it, but I started to realize that the government is on the push to make electrical charging stations
sure.
out there.
So.
Yeah.
Well, and
yeah.
it's got to be part, you know, if they're serious about this, it's got to be part of the infrastructure. It's
yeah.
got to be part of the infrastructure bill. And, you know, if they want to make this transition, then we have to plan not just for the car itself, but for the entire ecosystem to be able to support it.
But we don't know what's in the bill, right?
Well, I think we know the broad brushes, but it's government. It doesn't matter. There's you know, $500 billion aimed at this, but what will it be? We are trying to advocate that, you know, they talk about trying to help industries transition to this green future. Well, frankly, we're perfect for that, because we're going to have to repair all these hybrids and electrics. And again, it's not going to be huge for now, but in the long run, it will be. And there should be money to help support all of our training to do this. And I'll throw out, you know, all of our members here, all our folks who make that technology that's going on the vehicle, they absolutely, and they demonstrate it here at Apex, we can repair these vehicles and can do it. And I love what you talk about with the shop owners. I mean, that's, again, the great part of our industry is we love new stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We love technology. That's
the whole point, right?
Yeah.
Bill.
And we'll figure it out a lot faster than the automakers will in terms of how do we repair this? How do we keep this running? What's something that the engineers didn't think of and we'll make it better? I mean, that's what we do.
Every time we talk about the future on any of my shows, everyone always says, HEI, fuel injection, disc brakes.
Yeah.
Oh my.
Right.
I'm going to retire. I'm going to quit. This is crazy. And this is opportunity.
Completely.
Yeah.
That's what it is. Now,
the aftermarket should not be afraid of the future.
Right.
And will there be less?
Absolutely.
Will there be less people? Yeah. I really believe we'll purge. And you know, the consolidation will happen, and the one and two shop owners will have four and five shops because they're capitalists and they're entrepreneurs. They'll put in an ADAS facility. They'll put in a Tesla shop. I mean, who's to stop the creativity and the focus on specialization?
Right.
Yes.
It's like, don't look bad. Look, oh my God, that's a possibility. Mm-hmm. So I'm all for looking at the glass half empty.
Of course.
Yeah. One more final thing here before I let you go, because I know you're busy. Again, thanks for the tenacity to pull this off. And the other thing is the 25 training classes that you had for the service professional, okay? Business management and technology, some of the biggest names in coaching and in training, technology training. So thank you for that.
Oh, my gosh. Well, you know, we started off with your question about Joe's Garage and Repair Shop HQ, and that's all part of it. It's great to have the, you know, the booths and the personnel here to talk to the shop owners, but you also have to have that draw to bring people here, and the training, in order for us to adapt and keep up and be ahead of the curve, we have to provide that training to the shop owner, and it all fits together.
Yeah. Very well said, Bill. And the one last thing I'd leave your folks with is, Carm, you talked about how cool this Joe's Garage is with all this playground and the training. Almost every exhibitor I've talked to said, this is awesome. I'm going to have a lot more next year. So if you're a shop owner, this is the place to come to see all the playground, the new toys, and there's going to be a lot more next year.
For the first time, I'm so damn impressed.
Right?
I can't imagine what next year is going to be like.
Oh, we can't either.
I'm going to have to get a roof for this.
Yes.
This little building.
I know, right?
Won't be able to hear anything.
I know you're busy. Thank you for doing this, Bill Hanvey, CEO, Auto Care Association, and Paul McCarthy, President, CEO, AASA, the Automotive Aftermarket Supplier Association. And these two associations together own Apex.
You better believe it.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.